Dragon, Dragon Ball Z. Dragon, Dragon, fuck the dragon, come get me. Dragon, Dragon, fuck the dragon, Dragon Ball Z. Dragon, Dragon, fuck the dragon, come get me.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Little Anime Podcast, where we talk about anything anime-related, games, movie, shows. Today, as you can see by the title, we'll be talking about not a certain incident, but a passing of a very important figure in anime world. You know, a person who created one of the most iconic animes to come. Pretty much influenced all other animes that came after it, continues to be such a big part of the anime community, and just, you know, just being like kind of like people say kind of like the godfather of anime. We'll be talking about, you know, just about the creator of the Dragon Ball, Dr. Slump, creator Akira Toriyama. I'm sure anyone in the anime community, even people who aren't in the huge anime community, should have received or saw the post that was on Twitter. But if you didn't, I'm sure most people in the anime community has posted videos, posted maybe their own podcast episodes talking about this, because like I said, even if, let's say, maybe you didn't grow up watching or reading Dr. Slump, I know 9 out of 10 most anime fans grew up watching Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z, whatever one you got to first, and then just continued on from there, from the movies to the games to people, even though people hated and, you know, meme on it, Dragon Ball GT, and then later on when Dragon Ball Super came out, and then the Broly movie, and just everything. So today we'll be talking about that, just talking about my personal journey of, you know, watching Dragon Ball, what it was like back then, and, you know, growing up with it and just seeing the inspiration and just the influence it has, and I believe it still will. Like, he made such a icon that even with his passing, like, Dragon Ball isn't going anywhere. It's still such a huge property that, you know, everyone knows at this point, everyone loves, and everyone just, you know, for people in the anime community, this just is a really huge, you know, blow to hear what happened to him. You know, all our prayers go out to him and his family. You know, I know this is a really rough time for them, you know, giving them, I remember what the letter said that was on Twitter that posted, you know, explaining his passing and whatnot, and how they were, you know, didn't want, weren't like receiving any fan letters or gifts at the moment, you know, trying to give his family like their time to like grieve and, you know, really process this, because this, you know, hits all of us, but this really, really hits them, as, you know, they are his direct family. But before we get into that, we'll be getting into our new section. Not that much. I wanted to keep it kind of short and, you know, get into our main topic. But there were just like three that kind of caught my interest that I thought I should wanted to point out to you guys. We'll just go through it and then we'll get into our main topic. So for first piece of news from AnimeNewsNetwork.com, this talks about an upcoming anime called Vampire Dormitory. TV anime promotes video previews, the opening theme. The official website for the television anime of Emma Toyama Vampire Dormitory manga began streaming the anime's first full promotional video on Saturday. The video previews Fantastic opening theme Sugar Blood Kiss. The anime will debut on Tokyo MX and BS Nippon TV on April 7th at 11:30 p.m. GST. It will also rerun on ATX from April 8th and on MBS from April 9th. Crunchyroll will stream the anime in North America Central America, South America, Europe, Africa, Oceanic, the Middle East, the SCIS, and India. And just give a little bit of a synopsis about this anime, because I actually never even heard that this was apparently such a popular manga, and that's apparently getting an anime adaptation. I want to become your Thorough, a cross-dressing girl and a devoting vampire's dangerous cohabitation is about to begin. After losing her parents and being abandoned by her relatives, Mito is left all alone in the world. When she's kicked out of the restaurant where she works with no money and no place to live, she's taken in by Rika, or Rico, a vampire. In exchange for giving Rika her blood as his food, she ends up living with him in a boys' dorm filled with beautiful boys. A boys' dorm, Jesus, filled with beautiful boys with unique personalities. Like I said, I haven't heard about this, but reading this did get me interested. I'm always, trying to give out, whenever new animes are released, that seem something that maybe people will be interested in, give it a shout out, yeah, maybe it'll be something that I'll be interested in, and who knows, maybe I'll end up watching it and making an anime, making a podcast episode talking about it myself. Next news from ScreenRant.com. This talks about the Fate series ending, probably with a new anime adaptation on the way. So Fate Strains Fate approaching end of publication, meaning that the series has reached a definite ending. Good news for the upcoming anime adaptation. The Fate Strain Fate upcoming anime adaptation promises a complete run without delays or hang cl or cliffhangers. The series originated as an April Fool's joke, becoming an official spin-off due to its popularity. Despite its inaccessibility to English-speaking fans, its impending conclusion ensures a full and accessible adaptation. So the author of this re recently announced that his work on the Fate Strange Fake, that's a tongue twister, we come to an end with volume 10. While this may be sad to know, as sad to know one of the Fate franchise's more unusual work is coming to a close, it also signals an opportunity. Fans are looking forward to a future anime adaptation, should relish in how it will not have to be had to fear delays or any cliffhangers. I did actually hear about this, not the same. I thought it was just like an April Fool's joke that was made, but I guess it got so popular that the author just made it into its own series. And now, with it coming to a close, people are really anticipating that maybe it will get an anime adaptation. I haven't read it myself, but I personally, I'm hearing this, I definitely will, because I am a huge Fates fan. Was it last week? One of the weeks ago, I did talk about. Oh, maybe it was someone when I was doing the last Fate, Heaven's Field movie review, how I talked about with the, I think the 20th anniversary coming up, that they're releasing the original visual novel with an English cast along with other languages, and like I think totally like remastered, and it's everything that's gonna be like on Steam and PC. So I definitely will be getting that because I definitely do want to play it. I personally have never actually played the visual novel. I've only ever seen the animes of the Fate, or the Fate routes. So I am interested in actually, getting into the main source material that created, all the Fates. Well, at least like the main ones that I've, watched. I've seen the other ones, but like kind of like the main source material, where it came from, how the Fate started out. And this last one, yeah, this last one. And then last news from AnimeNewsNetwork.com, that talks about HoloLive talking about establishing its first overseas branch. So the parent company of HoloLive production VTuber management company aims for global expansion. Cover Corporation, the partner company of HoloLive production VTuber management company, announced on Tuesday that it will establish its first overseas branch, Cover USA in North America. The company will mainly focus on localization to fill to the little say I can't speak the global expansions. The company held its all held its HoloLive English first concert Connection to the World on July 2nd at the YouTube Theater in Los Angeles, California. It also participated in over 20 anime conventions in North America last year. The first generation of Hololive performers debuted in 2018. Over 70 virtual VTubers currently belong to Hololive. The talents perform using 2D and 3D avatars provided by the company. Cover Corporation launched Hololive Indonesia, a spin-off group aimed towards the Indonesian audience, in April of 2020, followed by Hololive English in September 2020. The all-male Hololive spin-off group debuted its first generation talent in June of 2019. And according to Hololive's production English website, it has over 70 million subscribers across all of its channels. That is very, very cool. So I guess now they're making like an official like English part of the company that's going to be like stationed here, and I guess kind of the same thing. They'll be mainly focused on expanding their brand and whatnot to the this side of the world. Also, another news. Actually, I did just thought about a bit, but I hadn't been write it down. If you are keeping up with the VTubers and whatnot, there actually was recently a new VTuber who came out, Quinn Bennett. Sorry if I'm saying his name wrong, but I'm not gonna say much because with everything that's going on. But if you've already seen, heard of him, you've watched his content, and you've heard and seen his previous content. Now he is now an indie VTuber. I believe he's already done like two live streams. Him introducing himself and his new model. One the other day with him just chatting, giving updates on like his process to of getting to being where he is now, and the trip he took before, getting this all started. And I also believe he has one coming up today where he is will be collabing with someone for the first time. But like I said, if you're already a fan and you kind of already know what's going on with that, definitely would recommend watching him. Because I do, he's pretty funny. And yeah, pretty much. I don't want to go into too much because that whole thing with them. But that is it for our news section. So let's get into our main topic. What were we talking about? Akira Toriyama, the creator of the popular manga series Dr. Slump, as well as coming up within his, I would say not most, I guess most kind of famous, but pretty much I guess the one that kind of spread worldwide, which would be Dragon Ball, aka like Dragon Ball Z. Plus he also did create like other he also was a character designer for several other like popular games like Dragon Quest, Chrono Trigger, and Blue Dragon. I actually do remember watching Blue Dragon, like the anime when it came out, and then thinking like, hey, this design kind of looked like Dragon Ball. And then knowing like the years later that he was the one who came up with like the character designs and whatnot. So I was like, okay. But yeah. So, hearing about his passing was very devastating for pretty much everyone in the anime community. It was very sudden. We actually didn't really hear about his passing until a week after it happened. He passed away the 1st of March of this year, and it was really unfortunate on what happened to him. And but that we don't want to get too much into it. Really, this is more like a tribute podcast episode to him and his work with Dragon Ball. That's the one I'll be focusing on today, since that's kind of those series that got me into one of the main animes that got me into anime, which one I talked about before was Sailor Moon, and the other one was Dragon Ball Z. I should clarify, because at the time I didn't know that Dragon Ball was actually a thing, following the journey of Goku when he was a child, and that Dragon Ball Z was the sequel, picking up to him being an adult, him, starting a family, and that journey there. Yeah, Dragon Ball, I'm sure for most people, at least over here on the North America side, a lot of us started with Dragon Ball Z. And then knowing like years later, oh, there actually was an anime and kind of a bit of the manga started off his journey, him as a kid. So I definitely did go back and watch that, seeing his journey as a kid, him, meeting all the characters that we later, know, like Bulma, Tien, Chaozu, Yamcha, Krillin, Master Roshi, Chi-Chi, and Ox King and you know just everyone. But so like I said, his first major work was Dr. Slum. That was from 1978 to 1983. Then Dragon Ball and any other things he did before was from 1983 to 1997. And then as we know, Dragon Ball came back around 2012 to 2024 with Dragon Ball Super. We'll be getting, like I said, we'll be talking more about the Dragon Ball franchise, more basically Dragon Ball Z, since that's the one I mainly started with growing up. So the original run around for Dragon Ball Z was April 26th of 1989 to January 31st of 1986 with 291 episodes. That's the Japan run. I couldn't find exactly when the original Dragon Ball anime started airing over here in America, but I do remember it was like in the early 2000s around that time. As we know, they split it up into different sagas, basically kind of like what we call now like arcs. There was the Saiyan arc, then the Frieza arc. I didn't learn this until like years later, but there was the Garlic Jr. arc, which actually was an anime adaptation, like created arc that people that actually wasn't, I don't believe was in the manga. That was just something that the anime themselves put in. But I did, you know, watch it and I did enjoy that arc kind of. It's been a minute. I haven't seen it, so I probably will have to rewatch it again just to see. Then there was the Android slash Cell arc, and then the Majin Buu arc. I do remember watching like all the way up to the Android slash Cell arc, and I think it was like years later that I finally did end up watching the Majin Buu arc because at the time they didn't release it on like TV and whatnot. And whenever they got pretty close, or one of the things that, you know, animes back then like to do was, I guess, whenever episodes weren't out, or whenever, I guess, quote unquote, they caught up to the manga, a lot of times they would just, or like if they were currently working on like a new season, they would just restart the anime from the beginning and just do it from there. That's what they did a lot. And I do remember a lot of times that Dragon Ball Z, along with like Sailor Moon back in the day, whenever like a season ended and the new season was never out yet, or they were still in the works of it, they just restart the series from the beginning and just do reruns. So I actually do remember rewatching like the Saiyan and definitely like the Frieza arc like a bunch of times growing up. The same thing with kind of like the Garlic Jr. and then the Android and Cell arcs. I remember watching those vividly multiple times growing up. It wasn't until like years later when I got more on the internet that I heard like, hey, that actually was like a final like saga arc of Dragon Ball that never fully got released on TV. And then I ended up watching it through that. I think around that time they did finally start releasing the episodes on actual TV, so I was able to watch it from that as well. But if I were to say, I mean, each saga is very, very different, you know, and upscaling, you know, the biggest thread at the time. You know, the Saiyan arc, pretty much at the beginning, we pick up where Dragon Ball left off. Goku and Chi-Chi are married. At this time, they have a son, their first son, Gohan, and you know, then it's been a couple of years, and Goku goes to see his friends and kind of give him an update on his life. He's like, yeah, you know, you guys know that I got married. Oh, this is my son, and basically, like being like, you can kind of just catching up with everyone since it's been a few years, but then getting that revelation of, you know. Raditz popping up, him revealing that he's actually Goku's blood-related brother, that Goku wasn't an Earthling, which, you know, at the time people were confused because of, you know, how even when Goku was a kid, he was like super strong for his age and had like all these techniques and whatnot, like was very overpowered for someone his age. When and then kind of getting that overlay, like, oh, you are an Earthling, you're a Saiyan, you are pretty much, yeah, you're an alien, you're from another planet, you were supposed to come here to conquer the planet for us so that we could, you know, sell it, but then it was revealed that he had gone to an accident when he was very young, hitting his head, losing his memories, losing that he was ever a Saiyan, losing that like savage Saiyan side of him, and becoming the lovable Kogu that we know. Then, at the time, getting that update that basically his planet's been blown up and that they not that many Saiyans left. At the time, there's only like maybe four or five, including him, and that they really want to conquer this planet. But they're with the amount of people that they have left, that they wouldn't be able to do it. And they were thinking about giving up. Then till Raditz remembered that he actually did have a younger brother that was sent off to a different planet to conquer. So that's why they went and came to find Goku. Of course, Goku at the time is like, I don't care. This is my home now. I'm not gonna let you guys just come in here and act like you can do whatever you want. He tries to attack Raditz, but that doesn't work. He ends up overpowering him, taking Gohan, telling him like, hey, I'm gonna give you a time limit. You pretty much get destroy every single life on this planet in one day or something like that. And I'll return your son to you, no unharm and whatnot. And you're like, you'll join us. And pretty much that's how the story starts. Start from there, and then the journey just picks up, and they do end up defeating Raditz. I mean, I guess I should have said spoilers, but at this point, Dragon Ball Z is such an old anime. Like, I'm sorry, but if you haven't seen that this time, you're definitely missing out because Dragon Ball Z it was just so good. It is very long. So, like I said, it's like 290 episodes. It's a very long, very lot. But actually, there is something that people can that did they did do for people who wanted to get into Dragon Ball but didn't want to go through all the episodes of the main series. Oh, excuse me. The main series, since it did have a lot of filler in that as well. So, a couple of years later, around in a February of 20 of 2009, Toei Animation announced that it would begin broadcasting a revised version of Dragon Ball Z as part of the series 20th anniversary celebration, which we came to know now as Dragon Ball Z Kai, which is basically, like I said, it's a revised version of Dragon Ball Z, basically cutting down all kind of like the filler episodes and filler parts, kind of pretty much just keeping on to the main topic of the story, kind of blazing through, all the sagas. Did they split it up? I think they get. Yeah, I think they kind of did the same thing, kind of splitting it up into different sagas. I do remember it took them a very long time to get the last saga out. Like to get that revised as well. I'm not even sure why. I think maybe kind of the same reason around the time that the last saga was ever really not like televised on TV, but. They did do that. Funimation licensed Kai for an English language release in February 2010. The series initially broadcast in the US on Nicktoons from May 24, 2010 to January 1st of 2012, continuing reruns until April of 2013. And that's when they brought it back to finish the I'm pretty sure that's when they brought it back to finish like the Buu Saga version of that. There was 159 episodes in Japan, while there was 167 international. But yeah, so like I said, for people who maybe didn't want to get into Dragon Ball, didn't want to rewatch Dragon Ball Z, but know with all the episodes, you were able to watch Dragon Ball Z Kai a couple of years later when they Hello? Did this thing freeze on me? Okay, there it goes. But yeah, a couple of years later, they did this revive version of Dragon Ball for people, and that kind of like reboosted back up the population of Dragon Ball, getting kind of people who back then maybe watched Dragon Ball Z Kai watching this kind of cut down version of it. And for people who never watched it, if you didn't want to go through the whole 291 episodes, you could watch this revive version of it and still get the same feel, get the same everything of Dragon Ball. Let's see. Yes. Next would be talking about is all the films. I hope you guys aren't hearing that. I don't know why, but something's trying to connect. And when I'm trying to turn it off, it's not doing it. Let me see if I can turn that off. But yeah, I'll keep talking. Next we'll be going into the films. Because one of the things Dragon Ball Z did was that it had a lot and lot of films come out from it. Dragon Ball Z. There were some Dragon Ball films, I think like four or five of them, And there were exactly 15 at the time, Dragon Ball films. Last one was the Resurrection of, was it F or was it a Battle of Gods? I don't remember. It was one of them. One of the, like the newer ones, kind of jumping into Dragon Ball Super. And then they kind of stopped. And then a couple of years later, when Dragon Ball Super came out, that's when they came out with the Dragon Ball Super Broly movie, making it 16. There were also, still doing it. There were also two very popular specials Dragon Ball Z came out with. The first one was the Dragon Ball Z Bardock, the Father of Goku. They came out in 1990, pretty much following a quick story of Goku's father and kind of his journey of, them, the Saiyans being under the reins of Frieza and how he feared them, for them being the legendary Super Saiyan, because he got a premonition that one of the legendary Super Saiyan would put an end to his reign. Hence on why he ended up destroying all of Planet Vegeta, killing all the Saiyans. But Bardock kind of, sensed that Frieza, wasn't just, letting them, live and served him, that he did fear them, and that he feared that if they didn't stand up, that he would, get rid of them, which ended up becoming true. So he did, but he did try to stand up against him. As he was dying and as his planet was being destroyed, he did see a vision of his of seeing his son in the future, Goku, facing off against Frieza, and him kind of getting that, yeah, this is happening to us. But he will get his retribution in the form of my son, avenging all of us. Then there was the one of the Dragon Ball Z, the history of Trunks in 1993, pretty much giving a small, kind of following Trunks' story of, what life was like for him in his future version of basically at the time, this is when the androids were running mile, killing everyone. At that point, all the Z fighters were pretty much dead except for Gohan, but him ended up dying years later on, the time Trunks was like a teenager. Him turning Super Saiyan, but still not, being strong enough to defeat them. And, him and his mom Bulma coming up with the plan of him going back in time to hopefully find a way to defeat them. And just, seeing that journey of what that version of Trunks kind of had to go through. And it was actually very, very good. Those are very two very good specials that kind of goes more into the lore of Dragon Ball and certain characters that were brought up that I know like Bardock wasn't really brought up, but seeing that kind of side of Goku's family and seeing that even then, like that will of like standing against, injustice kind of runs in the family, with his father going against Frieza and him doing it years later. And then, seeing that version of seeing that, the what that version of Trunks ends up going through in the future and everything, and just, and kind of getting that whole journey of what happens in the Android slash Cell saga. Last thing will be all the, well, kind of talking about all the games that kind of were produced from Dragon Ball. There were so many games, it would take me forever to say them all, but basically there's been like over 50 games are bearing like the Dragon Ball Z name across so many different like platforms and so many different like game consoles, all the way from like Nintendo to now to like PS5 and Xbox and whatnot. The last one being, and I'm pretty sure I think there's like a new one coming out, but the last one was the one that really like kind of blew up and people were really playing a lot, was Dragon Ball Z Kakarot in 2020. In 2020 basically was like a was different from other Dragon Ball fighting games. Basically, you were still fighting, you were doing everything, but in this one, you were going through the story of Dragon Ball. I'm not exactly sure how far the game went. I'm not sure if they went through pretty much the whole story, if it went through like every saga, or if that one just covered like the first one. I'm not 100% sure, but I do remember like when this game came out, it was really like popping off, and everyone kind of really liked it. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, Dragon Ball is such a such is and will always be a huge like franchise and brand, and like there's so many things that's come from Dragon Ball, so many references and other animes, so many animes have based, but like they're structured from Dragon Ball. So many of them do references, cartoons have done references of Dragon Ball, having people go Super Saiyan, people powering up, and the doing like the Ki Blast, doing a Kamehameha, and just just doing everything. And then there's like all the merchandise, like clothings and shoes and bags and just everything, like anything that could be put has like a Dragon Ball theme has been made with it. And it just shows like how popular the series got and how much it's like really influenced the anime community and everything. But it's just like just hearing the news, it like really shocked me. It was kind of shocking around the same time. And I actually do plan on doing this because when this happened, I was not wasn't a permanent place, and things were kind of still happening because this was back right now, COVID, and things were still kind of a mess, and finding something was like impossible. Finding the time to actually sit down and do this, maybe I'll do it next time, next 2 weeks. I will do a tribute episode talking about the creator of Yu-Gi-Oh, since he did pass away. God, what was it like 4 or 5 years ago? And I never actually got the time to do it, but I do want to do it. With this pat with the passing of Akira Toriyama, because Yu-Gi-Oh was also another really popular series that one really influenced me, and that for I know really influenced a lot of anime people as well. Like the card game, people still play that like professionally, and with tournaments and whatnot. There's so many spin-off, so many different series. Still based off of Yu-Gi-Oh. I believe there's still one out now. Is there one that, is that one still out? I think this one that's still out, that there's been so many different versions of Yu-Gi-Oh with like different rules, different concepts and new characters and all that that's been coming out. And like that's, like I said, that's just another really big series that like jumpstart a lot of people's like anime journeys, and something that a lot of people end up growing up watching. Actually, I was gonna say, because it just came to me. I know back then, but people didn't really know what anime was, and I know that now we know that shows back then like Yu-Gi-Oh, Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon, Digimon, Pokemon. Like we now know that those were animes. They weren't like back then. We didn't know what anime was. We thought they were just like regular cartoons, like the ones we see now for like cart like. Like Powerpuff Girls and Fairy Oddparents and Teen Titans, and it's like no, like those are actually anime. Those are cartoon animes. They're came from Japan, based from Japan, or created by Japan, mangakas and creators, and they were just brought over here to a Western audience. And by the time, like I said, that's around the whole era that we didn't know what anime was. But when we saw Yu-Gi-Oh and Dragon Ball Z and Pokemon, we thought those were just regular cartoons. It wasn't until like years later, at least for me, that I was like, oh no, this is actually like a whole separate genre that's like, it's not cartoons, it's anime, and that's what we know is now. But I do want to do an episode on that. Yu-Gi-Oh, like I said, is just a big popular series to me, as Dragon Ball was. I grew up watching Yu-Gi-Oh. I watched all the way up. I've seen like almost everyone except I think the one that's currently out now. I've seen the regular one. I've seen GX, 5Ds. What's after 5Ds? So was it Zexal? Zexal, then Arc, then Vrains, and then I think Sevens. That's the one after that. I'm blanking hard. Like, how many Yu-Gi-Oh series were there? Why am I blanking so much? I know there's like there's the original OG Yu-Gi-Oh that had like Yugimoto, Taya, Joey, Tristan, Kaiba, and then there's the GX that's kind of in the same kind of realm as them. And it's kind of like based off of them being the new cast, or like in school, kind of something like a school created by Kaiba. And then am I blanking? Then this it was it 5Ds? Five was 5Ds next, the one when they're on the motorcycles. That was like a huge meme that people were doing. They were like, oh, dueling on motorcycles. But I liked 5Ds. Like, it's funny how people memed on like certain series, and but then now they're like really popular now. And it's like, I liked this when it came out. Y'all were tripping. But I'm trying to think what after 5Ds, I think it was it Zexal? Zexal was next. Then it was Arc 5. Then it was Reigns. And then it was Sevens, I think. I am blanking. I cannot remember to save my life right now. Hold on. I'm trying to look it up. I'm trying to get the order correct. So I know the OG one had like five or six different like seasons, because each season was like its own arc, kind of, and it was very long. It was like dual. There was the Duelist Kingdom, then it was the Tournament City something, and then that was a pretty long one. That was a good couple of episodes. I'm trying to remember what the hell. Why my brain just like not working right now? And then this is taking forever. Yeah. Let me just get into. Oh my Lord. Hold on. The Yu-Gi-Oh series. I know there's like even a really popular like mobile game that you can like challenge people to. Oh yeah, and there's been a bunch of Yu-Gi-Oh movies that's come out since. So, hold on. I think I found a pitch. Is that a picture? I mean, kind of has everyone at least up to date. Yeah. So there's Yu-Gi-Oh, Yu-Gi-Oh GX, Yu-Gi-Oh 5Ds. Okay, so Vex the Zexal was next. Then Arc 5, then Reigns, and then one that just finishes Sevens. And I forget what the one that's out now is called, like Seven something. No, Yu-Gi-Oh! Go Rush. That's the one I think that's out now. That's like I said, those series back then that's still like relevant to this day. If I've had so many different like versions that's come out of it. It's the same thing with like Beyblade, like extremely Beyblade series there's are. Like, oh my God, that series has continued going on. It used to be the same for like Digimon too, but Digimon stopped after a while. They stopped after that last one, but then I think they brought it back, and I think there's been like two series since then, kind of thing. And I think they're also like kind of based off of games, like different version, like not the same kind of like Digimon games that's been out. They're like very different, but. I digress. This isn't a Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Digimon episode. I do plan on doing some of those since those are other series. I really did like watching Digimon. And there's supposed to be like a new Digimon movie coming out that's focusing more on like the second version of kids that came after it. But like Kari and TK are older, and then there's like Davis. I forget what the other two, three other kids' names were. I think one of them's like Ken or something. But I will definitely do episodes on that, but like I said, that's not today. Today we're still talking about Dragon Ball Z, and I mean, I kind of said everything I wanted. Like, this is just a really popular series. When Dragon Ball Super was announced, I did, of course, I started watching that. I remember that blew up the internet, especially around the tournament of, was it Tournament of Power? Is that what the arc's called? That last fighting like tournament that they all did to like determine whether that their universe would survive, and if they lost, they would be annihilated by like the grand ruler of like the universe. I'm trying to remember. I think that's what it's called. And it's like the Goku getting Ultra Instinct, and that just whole thing like blowing up. It was just like, come on! Like anytime Dragon Ball is announced, it's blowing up the internet. There's supposed to be a new one that's coming out that's focusing on. Like something happens and all the characters end up turning into like kids, so it's like kind of getting like a revision of Goku when he's when he's a kid, and like him going through like kind of having to redo everything like back when he was younger. It's very interesting. Like I said, Dragon Ball is just that's it's just a series that's everyone's known, everyone talks about, everyone's watched at this point. Anything Dragon Ball related, people are it's blowing up the internet, people are talking about it, people are just doing the most. Like I said, but I just wanted to, thank Akira Toriyama for creating such a popular and wonderful series that's captured the heart of so many people, that's inspired so many people that came after him. One of the things that actually people talked about on Twitter, or that was shown on Twitter, was like creators of other really popular mangas, like the creator of One Piece, the creator of Naruto. I think it was like one more. I can't remember who it was, but I think it was the creator of Bleach, the manga creator of Bleach. They all like put out statements basically saying like they grew up, watching Dragon, reading Dragon Ball, watching Dragon Ball, and that gave them the inspirations to create the series that they're really known for. And if they've met him and experience they've had with him, and just the influence he's had, helped them pave the ways for them, creating their popular series, and just hearing what happened, like it really like takes a toll on on them. And they'll never will never they'll never forget, all the times they've spent, knowing him and possibly, hanging out with him, and everything that his series and everything all his work did for them, and being and pretty much creating and being who they are now. And I think that's something we can all kind of, kind of relate to. Like Dragon Ball, like I said, is such a huge part of everyone's lives. Everyone's heard of Dragon Ball. Everyone's seen bits and pieces of Dragon Ball. It's just that's just the series that's. That's just warmed its way into everyone's heart, and it's just a loved series that will continue to be loved years from now. And his legacy will continue to live on, even if he even when he is not here. So I just want to end it here from now. Don't want to get too emotional, but I just wanted to say, thank you for everything that you've done, for bringing this wonderful series, not just to us as anime watchers, but basically to the whole world, creating this genre of shonen animes, and just bringing that, bringing such a series that's such, so near and dear to everyone, that it's the community it's built. It's just wonderful. So that is it for you guys. I do want to again just say, all prayers and wish best wishes go out to his family and to him, and just to say, you did such a wonderful thing, that such a made such a masterpiece that it could never be recreated. No one could ever make a series that could ever just over be that overwhelming to the point it reaches like the Dragon Ball levels of just popularity, community, and just overall just something that just everyone knows. But that is it. Thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you guys in the next 2 weeks. Bye.